God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Less Visible.
Hello! This is your dog poet, Less Visible, hovering in the saucer pod above the nations of the betrayed and beleaguered, and above the heart of darkness itself, the false Israel, a banking and crime syndicate disguised as a country built on genocide and theft and generated by myth and lies. When I think of the future, I look at myself in the present and I ask myself, how do I feel? Do I feel pretty? Not exactly, and that is a positive assessment because I am not pretty. I might be pretty cool in a self-adulating way and also pretty sorry if I ever catch myself at it, but that's pretty much what it is. I ask myself, how do I feel when I look into the unknown of the future? And to tell you the truth, I feel good. I base my entire projections on the future on how I feel about it. Yes, I hear the marching feet of revolution. I hear the falling of bodies that are the currency and cost of such things. But something bright and shimmery is glimmering at me from up around the bend, and I'm expectant about that in a positive way. In a rock-solid, it's okay kind of a way. The dominoes are falling around the world, and the predators and knaves in their places of plenty are trembling at the indications of what may be on the way. And it is on the way. The old world is passing, and the new world is coming in. What can I say but welcome? If it were not for this lingering discomfort that I've been carrying for a few weeks, I suspect I would feel magnificent, magnifico. And that's going to be attended to shortly, and like everything else in this life, I'll be on this other side of it soon. Well, what can I say? These times are immense. They are magnificent. They are trying and tense and demanding that we reach within and find someone there. We are right smack in a breathtaking passageway of history. Will we be equal to it? Will we have the sand and the stones to meet at the marrow? Nevermore, said the raven, and no word yet from the sparrow. I suspect there are heavy hearts out there in listener land tonight. I can feel it, and it's not me. As someone more equipped to give you comfort than I once said, let not your hearts be heavy. Come and trip it as you go on the light fantastic toe. Was that Tennyson or Pope? One of them, I think. It reminds me of an email I got the other day from someone asking me if I was familiar with Ezra Pound. That took me back to the time that I was locked up on the same ward where he used to be, at the John Howard Pavilion for the Criminally Insane at St. Elizabeth's Hospital outside of Washington, D.C. I've seen some dark times. I've seen fire and I've seen rain, as James Taylor was fond of saying. I remember the cold, green institutional walls. I remember dank prisons and all sorts of confinements. I recall terrible creatures from other dimensions that would drive one insane, but luckily I'd already attended to that. Which is not why I was in there, to tell you the truth. I wasn't mad. Everyone else was. But see, this comes with the awakened Kundalini. And that I did get, and it never was explained, but now it appears that it is being explained, and I guess I won't complain about the long hiatus point in between. You do go mad. You go mad past the point of possible return. You can never be what you were before, especially since that is not who you were to begin with. You can't be what you're not anymore. Of course, you get burdened with limitations that you have to work through, but you never mistake them for yourself anymore. When the electric green fire gets cut loose, you lose everything that you're not and are left with the moments of, oh, discovery, until revelation knocks at the door from the inside. None of the tales and books do it any justice, and certainly the struggle to arrive is greater than anything I ever read about, except, well, maybe for Milarepa. Sooner or later, you're in the delivery room again, only this time God is the attending physician, and it's a very different thing when he smacks you on the ass, and the world is filled with light. This sort of thing doesn't just come to yogis and saints. It also comes to poets and mystics of no particular denomination, besides winning the favor of the lady who puts in a good word for you and is the one who rises up the column into the final bridal chamber for the alchemical marriage. You hear a lot of terms in this business. Enlightenment, realization, the alchemical marriage, the great work, the operation of the sun, the philosopher's stone, and the pearl of great price. You get a lot of directions. You get a lot of advice from people who haven't been there. You definitely get a lot of negative feed about impossibilities of getting there and the non-existence of what they don't believe in. I don't have to worry about believing in it anymore since I know it's there. I can say that with confidence. I absolutely, completely know. I mean, I don't know, to tell you the truth, at all. But if there were one thing that I was absolutely certain of, it's the existence of the divine. I get evidence of it every single day. I get evidence of it in phenomena, in events, occurrences, and all the rest of it, but I also get evidence of it in the changes that occur within myself. And maybe that's perhaps the most important part of it. The best part of the whole equation is the knowledge that it believes in me. Even if I don't. Of course, that's understandable. How can I believe in myself when I don't even know who that is? Yes, the world is getting a wardrobe change, and a lot of people are determined to go to the cleaners with the world's old suit. That's the biggest mystery to me. Why is it that so many people cannot see that this is all an elaborately staged event with one collective purpose, and that is to wake you up and welcome you into immortality? People actually think the world is here for the things in it, and here for what you can pass yourself off as, and here for all the little payoffs that precede all the grand embarrassments that follow them. You are here to find your maker. You are here to find your way out, and you have to want that or it won't happen. It's one thing if you're a worldly sort who likes all of this action, but it's another thing entirely if you're not. And you let yourself be deceived into some other course of action. That's a kind of definition of hell, purgatory perhaps, something unpleasant, all of which involves waiting with the little image icon over it that looks like the inside of a bus station. And people are looking at what is happening in the world right now, and they don't see it. What they see are the difficulties they are up against in terms of getting what they think they want in order to make this the kind of place a person wants to be marooned on, like old Ben Gunn. Long John Silver. Arr, Jim, you're smart as paint, you. You know, I never got that, really. How smart is paint? Hey, but that's, I don't know, there's a certain poetic latitude, is that what they call it? License? Yeah. I don't know. It's supposed to suggest the image of something that doesn't actually connect to the thing being said. Yes, a new world is coming. They announced it in the early part of the last century with the Golden Dawn and a whole lot of other things that got together, which everyone now thinks is evil. There are people now that think everyone connected with every secret society everywhere is evil. I myself am a member of an ancient brotherhood. I know this for a fact, and I don't think I'm evil. I think I'm a little too stupid to be evil, but be that as it may. There's one force. There are two main applications, okay? So in times of darkness, mostly they are evil, but that doesn't mean that a lot of other members are not evil, I suppose. Medieval, perhaps. You know, somewhere in the middle, like that's possible. A Cheerios, Chiaroscuro sort of thing. So about this new world coming. They announced it, like I said, in the early part of the century, and they announced it again in the 60s with the Beatles and Dylan and all the rest of that. Now it's getting its last announcement because it's here and rehearsal is over. The key to survival is not to be attached to anything that is not a part of the new world, and maybe it's a good idea not to get attached to any of that either. I'm trying to figure out if I have a point. I expect I do have a point, and that would be that there is no point in anything here except for service and search. If people ask you what to do, tell them you're in the SS. Yeah, service and search. If you're engaged in anything else, you might as well take the right magazine into the bathroom with you, because all the distractions are painful in the end. It's not the distractions, it's the capacity to be distracted, and it's all sex. From the most basic red-eyed rage, which ancient wisdom tells us turns into anger, or is it anger that turns into lust? That's worth exploring, by the way. However, the best sex is an internal affair, and it goes on forever. It locks up time in its own prison and throws away the key. It dances beyond the planets. My friends, it dances beyond the planets and reveals heaven in all directions. It's the kind of thing you bring with you where you go, wherever you go, just like everything else you bring with you, and which acts as your calling card in your fate. Confucius went to see Lao Tzu, and when he arrived, Lao Tzu asked him, "Well, who are all these people you brought with you?" When asked later about him, Confucius said, "I met a dragon." I think I can say I know what he meant. You can't tell people here that everything they want is no good for them and will only make them cry. Physical sex is a gateway to sorrow, while celestial sex is something indescribable, but which, you know, few believe in, but which many a saint and seer has testified to the existence of. Now, I am neither, and I will testify to it as well. I have had the experience. You're here because attractions are holding you in place. It takes a superhuman effort to break free, and no one does that under their own power. You better find that locomotive. Accent on loco. Actually, all you have to do is adjust your attractions to something that exists beyond the mortal plane. Accent on mortal. I want to say something, but I can't seem to get it said. Perhaps it can't be said, and perhaps it shouldn't be said, and perhaps it cannot be heard. It doesn't depend on me in any case. It's getting said a million different ways from a million different sources, so that anyone who's interested in hearing it should go, or want to hear it, go where it's not so noisy and where there isn't so much of the crap everyone's clamoring for. People touching up their eyeshadow on the way to the grave. Why would you want shadows on your eyes? For the same reason you would want internal filters to keep the voices of the angels from interfering with your feeding schedule. I think I can say I've come to a pretty interesting place. There isn't anything I want that I'm not going to get or don't already have. If there were one thing remaining, I would have to say it would be a grand and remote location with the coming and going of kindred souls. But as I understand it, that's on the ticket too. You know, sometimes I tremble at the extent of my good fortune. I shake in awe and gratitude that I am not one of the movers and shakers and havers of this plane. I look ahead at the excruciating disentangling that awaits them, and I thank my lucky or my industrious stars that I am not in that section of the I want it contingent. It's not that difficult to understand life or to understand why you're here. Go out into the street, into public, find a park bench, sit in a cafe, and observe people. Look at what they're up to. Are any of these things going to save their life? Are any of these things putting them in contact with the divine? Or is it rather putting them in touch with something they want on this particular plane? And will that not further entangle them one way or another into yet more and more of the same? Which is how it goes on and on and on, and why it keeps repeating itself over and over and over again. You know, it makes it rough on people who, well, best I not say that. It's a little self-involved in me to say, and I won't say it. Well, then in that case, I don't have to explain it, do I? Yeah, very good. Thank you very much, Visible, for stopping yourself. That's actually a very good thing. My friends, observe. Look at what's in front of you. Look at what's going on around you. When it begins to look stark, raving nuts to you, you are close to understanding what's going on. When it looks completely batshit, like you're in a mental institution, you have arrived and you are very close to understanding what's going on and to being free of it. Until that time, you're just another one of the patients, baby. Oh, I'm sorry. I said, I don't say that with glee. I know you're all going to get there eventually anyway. Even I'll get there eventually, wherever there is. It's some part of here and some part of what's still not here and some part of what I don't see that's already here. Yeah. Well, as ever, we've come to the end of another monologue, at the end of which I will have forgotten everything I said, and possibly with good reason. Anyway, but let me wish you the comfort of the Supreme Personality of the Divine in between now and the next time we meet, and certainly beyond that, of course. And I will see you next week, if there is one. That said, allow me to conclude with aloha and and so on.
You can see him in the morning when the sun is.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.